Locked On Bruins, your daily podcast on the Boston Bruins. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Bruins fans, and welcome back to the Locked On Boston Bruins podcast. I'm your host, Ian McLaren, and this is a daily show where we discuss all things spoke to be, as well as take a look around the NHL. Today is Thursday, May 13th, and this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Today on the podcast, I am joined by the host of Locked On Capitals, and we collaborated to put together a preview. Her name is Amy Rothenberger. And today and tomorrow, you will hear our discussion looking ahead at the Capitals-Bruins series that begins on Saturday evening. Before we get to that, let me remind you that you should hit that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. Monday to Friday here on Locked On Boston Bruins, you'll get a fresh pod in your feed for you to download, listen, and enjoy. If you could also rate and review, that would be very much appreciated. You could follow along on Twitter at LO Boston Bruins, and you can get video instant game reaction after every playoff game, as well as Locked On Bruins on Instagram. I think that's pretty much it by way of introduction. I should mention off the top, Cam Neely and Don Sweeney, they chatted with the media on Wednesday. Nothing too enlightening from there. They reaffirmed Swayman as the backup. Cam Neely said they're going to, you know, kind of look at what Taylor Hall does in the playoffs, but there will be extension talks at some point. Looking at Tom Wilson, saying he's not flying under the radar and that they'll be, you know, aware of him on the ice, especially after the Brandon Carlo incident. And also that the Bruins are in the 80% when it comes to getting at least the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. So the challenging part will be to when to get the second shot during the busyness of the playoffs and side effects thereof. So maybe like if there's a break between series, that could be a spot to do it. But overall, both Neely and Don Sweeney very excited about the playoffs. Sweeney said it's incredible that our players and staff were as dedicated as they were and that they've been able to get to this place. There's a lot of excitement, and especially even more so now after they brought in the players at the deadline, not just because they were excited to be joining the team that was headed to the playoffs, but also the players who are already here wanting to get some reinforcements, and everybody's pretty pumped about the playoffs at this point. So, yeah, with that said, let's get into this preview part one with Amy Rothenberger of Locked On Capitals. All right, Amy, we are previewing the first round series between the Capitals and the Bruins. I guess it was kind of destiny that these two teams would meet at some point with the Zdeno Chara storyline, of course.
Let's start with
the Capitals. Get to know the higher seed. They finished second in the East Division. Kind of what do Bruins fans, or what do we need to know about the Capitals heading into this series?
Well, you know, the thing with this season is that after playing eight games against the Capitals, there's kind of not a lot you don't know, but just right. A quick list. Right now, everybody seems to be a bit banged up. That's a big story. Ovechkin played, of course, in that last game against the Bruins, but it was the first time he had played after missing seven and a lot of an eighth game. He played like 39 seconds in one of those games. And everybody has lower body injuries. You know, Laviolette went to a post-game presser one night and said, "Everybody's lower body." And that was all he said. And that was all he had to say.
Yikes.
Last night we're still missing TJ Oshie, John Carlson, both lower body. the other missing pieces of the puzzle right now, and by puzzle, I do mean puzzle, are Evgeny Kuznetsov and Ilya Samsonov, who have been out on the COVID-19 protocol for a while now, ever since, I think, probably for about a week now. I don't know how many games that covered, but ever since it was announced initially that they were kept out of the game due to a team decision slash for disciplinary reasons. And then it turned out that they were both placed on the COVID protocol list. The initial disciplinary reason that we were all given was that they were late to a team meeting. The scuttlebutt that's going around, and I haven't heard this scuttlebutt from anybody reliable, I want to tell you that right now.
Good to know.
But the scuttlebutt that is going around is that perhaps when they were up in New York City, they went out and about and broke some protocols. Which I would not put past the two of them, especially considering their history back in January. Those two and our other two Russians got the team a nice big $100,000 fine for all getting together and playing video games in their hotel room without their masks on, which was against many different rules. So that's kind of where we stand there. So as far as, you know, the storyline goes, we're not sure who we're going to ice and at what time. But and that makes our goaltending situation a little bit interesting as well. And I think when we talk about actual matchups, we can talk about the goalies in a little bit more detail, but I'll throw that little interesting wrinkle in it. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that one of the storylines of this series is going to be one Tom Wilson.
Yeah. He's going to come up at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was, you know, 6 weeks after his hit on Brandon Carlo that the NBC commentators were still talking about it during and it wasn't even during a game against Boston, I don't think. It was like, remember when Tom Wilson hit that guy from Boston? I was like, yes, we remember. Yes, he does bad things. So anyone who follows me on Twitter, who listens to my podcast, or who has sat next to me at a game, which it's been a long time since that's happened, knows that I scream from the top of my lungs at least twice a game. Make good choices, Tommy.
Nah.
Does he ever listen to me? No. Yeah. Should he? Yes. And for very good reasons this time around. Number one, we're down a whole bunch of forwards right now. We can't afford to lose another one to suspension. And number two, like, you've done this how many times? There needs to be a time for it to stop. And I really think, you know, our ownership is very tight-lipped. Our coaches are very tight-lipped about conversations that they have off the ice, as are most coaches with players. But I really think either ownership or the coaches or some combination of the two need to sit him down sometime in the next few days and say, look, Tom, here's where we're at. And I, frankly, you know, I'd be surprised if that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Because again, that doesn't mean he listens to them, but it needs to happen again. It needs to happen again and again and again, as long as he keeps doing these things. I like Tom Wilson as a player, and I've made this point several times, both online and on my podcast these past few days. I do not like the things that he is wont to do on the ice. Nor do a lot of people. Nor do a lot of Boston Bruins in particular. I can think of maybe Brandon Carlo and Sean Corrali as two of them right now.
For sure.
Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. All you need is $500 to get started, and you can grow your wealth the easy way by letting Wealthfront do the work for you. They can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. And best of all, it's automatic. Just go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Get your first $5,000 managed for free for life by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL.
I think, and one of the things I want to ask you, and this is a little bit veering off the topic, but I know Trent Frederick was in last night. He's not going to stay up for the playoffs, is he? Because if he is, his only job is going to be to bug Tom Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I know there have been some questions as to whether he would be playing. Bruce Cassidy has kind of said that they were going to kind of take it matchup by matchup or series by series and see if they want to field a more physical lineup or put some more skilled players in. He hasn't played that much recently. He was sick with a non-COVID related illness, wasn't getting in the lineup really. And I think based on the lineup they had been going with over the last few games, he will probably be on the outside looking in if they want to go with their best possible lineup. If they want to insert him just for that physical factor or getting under people's skin, which I personally don't think would be the wisest move per se. He could be in there, or if someone's injured, can't go, but all things being level, I don't think he will get the start because they're so deep on the left side with adding Taylor Hall. Jake DeBrusk is like playing on the fourth line right now. So unless there's an injury or they make a conscious decision to go with a bigger, more physical lineup against the Capitals, I don't think he will be in there. And I don't think that him being in the lineup would necessarily give them the best chance to win at this point. So I guess we'll find out here as the Bruins start to practice a bit heading into this series. But my sense is he won't be in the lineup. But say they lose game one, then I could see a situation where he is in there for game two kind of thing, just to kind of counter that or mix things up a little bit. So really,
yeah, I was giving that some thought during last night's game a little bit. And I was like, maybe I'll talk to Ian about that. But yeah, I mean, and if it's not that, to be honest, it's going to be the Tom Wilson, Brad Marchand bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be, there are some other guys who can mix it up. Nick Ritchie will kind of take over that Tom Wilson role as well. Kind of the,
well, Brad Marchand as pest in general, like, Tom's not the pest. He's the one that comes in after the pest has pested, right? Like, and you know, like you said, Richie's not the pest. Brad is. Richie comes in after Brad has pested.
Exactly. Like, yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, that'll be that. And like you said, you know, the other big storyline is Zdeno Chara. This is his first. This is the first time in a while the Caps have met Boston in the playoffs. And
yeah, 2012.
The Chara factor is making it a little bit awkward.
Yeah, for sure. With the divisional format, I mean, the chances are that they were likely to meet in the playoffs at some point. And yeah, here we are. It's kind of funny that there were a lot of Bruins fans over the last couple of years saying that Chara's done, he's too slow. And they're the kind of the same people now who are saying, oh, he's going to shut them down. He's going to keep them in check. So it's kind of a pick your poison with,
I mean, I don't think the Capitals picked him up for his speed.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's brought, you know, not that Ovi's not a leader, not that Backstrom's not a leader, but the more leadership in the room you have, kind of the better.
Sure.
And I think that's always been one of his fortes. You know, that's all you ever heard from Boston fans and coaches and teammates alike.
For sure.
And he's still, I mean, any defenseman that big is going to be valuable on your team. Even if he's slow, he's got a reach and he gets in the way. And what did I hear somebody say? Because I listen to a lot of other hockey podcasts and I get them all confused. But basically, like, how many times are we going to keep track of how many times Zdeno Chara cross-checks the heck out of Brad Marchand?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they'll definitely be no love. I mean, yeah, it'll be weird to see how that emotion comes through. They obviously are all tight and have history together, but you know, once it's on the line as it is in the playoffs, I can imagine that will, for the most part, go out the window
emotionally and physically for everybody, I think.
Exactly.
So, so tell me about your Boston Bruins, Sir Ian. What can the Capitals expect from them that maybe they don't know about already?
I mean, it's weird. It's weird to talk about this team because it's definitely a before and after situation with the Bruins. Earlier in the season, one of the big storylines for them was, well, coming into the season, speaking of Chara, the loss of Big Z and Torrey Krug on the blue line. That was a huge question mark for this team. Left side of the blue line, how they would, you know, function without them, how they would play strong defensively. And they have. They've really remained one of the better defensive teams in the NHL. And that's credit to Bruce Cassidy and his system, and also to, you know, the goaltending. That's the kind of the final line of defense there. But the other big storyline was just the lack of secondary scoring in this team. It's kind of been a recurring theme over the last few years. And it was a big problem all throughout the season. And the Bruins really hit kind of a low point in that. I think it was like a month ago, just this week, where the Capitals beat the Bruins like 8-1. The Bruins were without their top four defensemen, their top two goaltenders.
Yeah, you were playing what was left of your Bruins, and now we're going to be playing what's left of our Caps.
It was pretty bleak. And the next day, Don Sweeney went out, pulled off a deal with the Sabres, brought in Taylor Hall, Curtis Lazar, brought in Mike Riley from the Ottawa Senators. And it's been kind of night and day since then. I was looking at it today. The Bruins, they've played the most amount of games since the trade deadline, but they've amassed the most amount of points in that time. They went like 12-3-1 down the stretch. They're one of the top offensive teams, one of the top defensive teams, and that secondary scoring, I kind of look at it as like they basically have a 1A and a 1B lineup.
I
top.
Saw your tweet about that today. That was very interesting.
And then like a 3A, 3B. They don't have a traditional checking line per se. Like I said earlier, Jake DeBrusk is on their fourth line with Curtis Lazar. And so, yeah, I think that's one of the big things with this team since the trade deadline. It's really been a pretty massive transformation. David Krejci finally has his winger and Taylor Hall. And anybody who was doubting whether Taylor Hall had the wherewithal to excel at the NHL level anymore is looking pretty silly right now, as he's been, you know, he's been excellent for the Boston Bruins. And it really helps that he...
I will throw in a little tidbit of information here. Mm-hmm. And I realize that the statistics are a little bit skewed because Taylor Hall did spend the bulk of his season with the Buffalo Sabres. And
yeah.
Also, what happens when you play on the Buffalo Sabres, apparently.
Exactly.
But there are at least three third and fourth line forwards on the Capitals that have scored more goals this season than Taylor Hall.
Yeah. And that, I think that's definitely a function of, you know, he had two goals as a member of the Buffalo Sabres. I think with the, that was two goals in something like 37 games.
Yeah.
And then with the Bruins, he has, he's almost a point per game player with the Bruins. He's got, I think, what is it? Eight goals and six assists in 14 points in 16 games. So he's averaging, if you put that over like a full season with the Bruins, he's on a 40 goal pace, basically. So,
yeah. I mean, like I said, the statistics are skewed that way, but I kind of like to throw that out there every once in a while.
For sure, yeah.
But I will say, under players to watch, we've got guys on the third and fourth line who are getting their career highs in goals this season.
That's true, yeah.
Which is interesting. Guys like Nick Dowd, Garnet Hathaway, and not third or fourth liners, but well, Sherry's on the third sometimes, but Connor Sherry, Daniel Sprong.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
Really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same for the Bruins as well. They have Nick Ritchie. He set a career high in goals this year. And they have, you know, Charlie Coyle on the third line as well. I think, yeah, that's really going to be a big thing in this series is who has that depth up front and who's able to kind of match up defensively as well with the opposition. That's going to be a huge storyline for sure.
Well, and it'll be really interesting considering that we don't know whether John Carlson is going to be one of those defensive
right players. yeah what's up with him, what's his
it's all lower body, it's
all lower all body
day. Yeah, it's all everybody who's injured on the Caps has a lower body injury. Everybody who's injured on the Caps is also considered day to day,
right?
So, you know, and especially with the playoffs coming up, I mean, what else are they going to be, right? So,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, as far as matchups go, I think, what was it? Oh, it's the Eller Sherry Raffle line, which has been our third line of late, because you've seen a lot of lines of late that don't have your Backstroms and your Kuznetsovs and your Ovechkins in them. But they've played very well. They played a very strong two-way game, and I would not be surprised to see them matched up against your good old perfection line you got over there.
Right, yeah. And they got the game winner in the season finale, right? That late
game.
That
is correct.
Right, yeah.
RockAuto.com is a family-owned business, and they've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Visit RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. Their catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Their prices are always reliably low, and the same for pros as well as do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting news, including baseball, basketball, hockey, football, UFC. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty big, that who's matched up with who. And again, that's one of the big things for the Bruins. Even if you were able to neutralize the so-called, I hate calling it the perfection line, but even if you neutralize those guys, Hall, Krejci, Craig Smith, they have been equally as effective over the last few weeks. So that's really where I think Boston might have a bit of an advantage there, is with, just that depth up front and those pretty good scoring lines that they have put together there as well.
So yeah, all right. What else is on our list here? We have a list.
Yeah, right. I was just gonna say too, when it comes to goaltending, if Samsonov's not able to go, do you think that I was also gonna mention this before we get to goaltending. You mentioned about all the injuries and things like that. Mm-hmm. Bruce Cassidy actually, after the season finale, remarked about how the Bruins are kind of at their healthiest right now, which could be a big advantage for them. The one guy they were missing was Charlie Coyle. He's expected to be back. So they are as healthy as they have been all season. And that will definitely be something to watch if they're able to stay healthy. If the Capitals are banged up, that's obviously a big advantage for.
Yeah. I mean, I can't lie to you and tell you they're not. And I think you're right. I think that puts the Bruins at a very distinct advantage at this point. That's one of the things, you know, that you see in this shortened season, whether it's at this point of the season or really at any point of the season, it seems, and not just the Bruins or the Capitals, but with a lot of teams out there, it seems that everybody kind of starts to get banged up right around the same time. Or maybe it's just that, you know, it's confirmation bias on my part.
Right.
But yeah, it seems that, you know, whether it's been, you know, COVID protocols, which is not getting banged up, but it's, you know, teams that either aren't playing for a significant amount of time or are playing significantly shorthanded for a certain amount of time. And also one of the problems that the Caps had, I don't know specifically if this happened with the Bruins, because frankly, I didn't pay that close attention, but when they started losing folks to injury, and literally running out of players that they could use under the cap, they literally had to play short. There were several games in this last stretch where they played with either 10 or 11 forwards.
Oof. Yeah, that never happened here, but.
Yeah. So, and it wasn't, and they didn't put an extra D out there. Like they had, you know, 16 or 17 skaters. And a lot of those games, they still managed to win. So that's saying something, but that's also not something that can get you through a long playoff run either.
Yeah, true. And yeah, speaking of that, with Samsonov, questionable with being on the COVID list, we mentioned earlier that they hadn't played in the playoffs together since 2012, and that was kind of when Braden Holtby really busted out and kind of, I wouldn't say stole the series, but he played amazing that series. Do you think that'll be a potential weak point for the Capitals, the Achilles heel per se, or do you think that you know, their Samsonov or Vanacek could step in and kind of replicate that?
And that, my friends, is what you call a tease. We will pick it up there tomorrow on Locked On Boston Bruins, part two of our preview episodes with Amy Rothenberger of Locked On Capitals. Hope you're all having a great week. Thanks for tuning in. And tomorrow as well, we'll have the latest from practice here on Thursday, kind of who's there, who's playing with who, as we look ahead to Saturday's game one against the Washington Capitals. Have a good day, friends. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.